Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Ready. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Let me actually turn my bright sun just a little bit for everybody. There we go. Okay, so we are here now, alhamdulillah, back at another week here at Roots. And as promised last week, we ended our series on the Shahada, on the first pillar of Islam, the affirmation of our faith and our creed and our iman, the belief in Allah, belief in the books and the angels and the prophets and the last day and all those different topics. And now, alhamdulillah, we are now going to be focusing on the pillar of salah, the pillar of prayer. This pillar is one that, you know, challenges a lot of people in different ways. It's not always easier done than it is said, right? When you pray, prayer is actually almost a physical culmination of your faith. This is why in Islam, we don't only just believe in illa ladina amanu, right? Except those who believe. We believe in inna ladina amanu wa amilu salihat, that it's a combination of people who believe and they do righteous actions along with their belief, because belief is only half of it, right? As you know, there's a common saying that says talk is cheap, right? Talk is cheap. You know, you can easily say that, oh, I'm good at this or I'm good at that, or I am like this or I am like that. Talk is very, very, it's very shallow sometimes. That's why in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants to see what you're made of. That if you really are a faithful person, a pious person, a person who claims to be close to God, one thing that you have to do, and this is something that is foundational for our faith, is to back up your talk by action. And the first action that we ever talk about in Islam is prayer. This is why prayer is one of the most fundamental things that a person can do in their worship and their relationship with God. So today we're going to start off with our conversation of salah. Now, the first thing I want everyone to kind of think of, this is the primary kind of focal point that I want people to kind of start thinking about as we start this conversation, is what is a challenge that you have when it comes to prayer? What's a challenge that human beings have when it comes to prayer? So actually, let's think about this as a group here. So I'll type this out for everybody on the Instagram live stream. What is a challenge for human beings when it comes to prayer? Let's talk about this really quickly, inshallah. I'm going to pin this down on everyone's screen so everyone can kind of keep up with it and everyone can chime in. Everyone can share some thoughts and reflections on what they believe is sort of a challenge when it comes to the topic of prayer. You know, what is a challenge when it comes to prayer? Is laziness a challenge? Is a challenge, being able to focus? So I'm going to type this in for our Facebook followers as well. What is a challenge when it comes to prayer? Very good. Here we go. And so now I want everyone to kind of chime in on this as like an interactive part of our conversation. What do you feel is a major challenge when it comes to the idea of salah? So why pray? The conversation today is titled, why pray? Why do you even pray to begin with? What is the point, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called salah the center of the religion, suggesting that almost like it's like a tent. If you guys can imagine like a tent or a home, and the home has beautiful walls and beautiful ceilings and beautiful pillars, but the prayer, if you were to kind of put it into that analogy, the prayer would be the structural foundation that keeps the home up, okay? You can have beautiful walls and beautiful ceilings and beautiful decorations, but unless you have that structure, that skeleton, that home will end up crumbling. So your prayer, your salah, is actually the skeleton, the strength of your home. It's the strength of everything you do in your life. It is something that has to be solidified for all other things to happen, right? Salah has to be solidified in order to have the extra blessings you have in your life. You want to make sure that that foundation is strong. And without that foundation, the home crumbles. The Quran actually commands a person to perform salah than any other command in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in several different parts of the Quran, He says, "Fasalli li rabbika wanhar," right? So pray. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly tells us, pray, pray, because prayer is something that is commanded by God Himself. pray to me, right? Pray to me in order to show your gratitude. Pray to me in order to show your discipline, right? Salah is not only just a mundane ritual. This is something that we're actually going to talk about today. That a lot of people, a big struggle with our kind of mentality and our own kind of society and our community is that prayer becomes this ritual. It becomes a ritual that we don't know the meaning behind anymore. Right? It's just something we do because we're told to do it. Growing up, I mean, I want you guys to imagine the furthest back memory you think of when you pray, right? Or of prayer. It's somebody telling you to do it. And if you do not, you know, solidify that ritual, if you don't solidify the meaning behind that ritual, what's going to happen is that we're always going to struggle in keeping up the momentum of prayer. And this is the reality with any action you do in your life. It can last for a certain amount of time because somebody told you to do it. They can last for a certain amount of time because other people are doing it. But what's going to happen if you don't actually create your own meaning, your own love for that act, your own love for that ritual? What's going to happen is it's going to eventually fizzle out. And how many times does that happen to us, right? We buy the latest iPhone because everybody else has it. We invest in the latest stocks because everybody else is invested into it. We watch the latest Netflix show because everyone else is binging it, right? We, you know, share the most recent story because everyone else is sharing it. The things that always end up lasting is when you put your footprint into it. It's when you put your footprint into it, when you actually have a personal relationship with it. Those are the things that always end up lasting in our lives, okay? And so the word salah in the Quran has different meanings, right? And this is the beauty of Arabic, is that Arabic is such a beautiful language that it cannot always be easily translated into English. Sometimes you need to kind of understand the context of which that word or those verses was revealed. And so salah in different parts of the Quran refers to the prayer that we know it as today, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar wa la dhikrullahi akbar." And he says that, you know, that salah keeps you away from fahshai wal munkar. That it keeps you away from evil and wrongdoing, okay? But in other parts of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it differently, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it differently. So we're going to talk about three ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually uses the word salah in the Quran. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word salah in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 170. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّا لَا نُضِعُ أَجْرَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ. Okay, he says, but as for the one who holds fast to the scripture, to the book, الْكِتَابِ, and keeps up the prayer, وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةَ, they keep up with the prayer, إِنَّا لَا نُضِعُ أَجْرَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ, that we do not deny the righteous people their reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of lays out the template for those who keep strong with their prayer. That if you hold fast to the kitab, to the Quran, and if you establish your prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never allow the reward of the doers of good, or in this case, he calls it the righteous people, al-muslihin, the people who are as-salihin, the people who are righteous and pious, he will never allow that reward to be lost. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he refers to salah in different ways. So one of the ways he refers to the word salah, he says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَالْمَلَائِكَتُهُ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. So Allah says, it is he who confers his blessing upon you, okay? هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ, okay? He confers his blessings upon you and his angels. So salah, at a certain point, doesn't only just mean prayer, but salah also means blessings, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكُمْ, that Allah confers his blessings upon you all, right? صَلِّ عَلَيْكُمْ, upon you all. And this is why, by the way, a proof of this is when we say, اللهم صلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ, right? You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're making that dua, اللهم صلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. You send your blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a definition of salah is not only prayer, but it also means the definition of blessings, right? You say that to people, you say that in your dua sometimes, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim fil alameen, innaka hamidun majid. So salah in this context doesn't only mean prayer, but it also means blessings, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confers his blessings upon his prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels both confer their blessings upon the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now another definition of salah, another part of salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually says, alam tara anna Allah yusabbihu lahu man fis samawati wal ardi wat tayrul safati kullu qad alima salatahu. Allah says, do you not see that Allah is exalted by whomever is within the heavens and the earth? And the birds with wings spread their wings in flight. Each of them has known his meanings of prayer and exalting Allah. So Allah is actually saying that salah can be done by anyone. Okay, even the birds in the sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, that even the birds in the sky, right? Allah says, وَالطَّيْرُ صَافَّتِ كُلُّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ. Okay, that even the birds in the sky, the birds in the sky, the fish in the ocean, the animals on earth, they all actually pray to Allah. You know, we always have like these jokes that, you know, like mashallah, our pets, right, our cats and our animals, they actually all have their own way of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because actually we believe that these animals are actually born with this kind of innate nature of wanting to be close to God. They're not like us, right? Animals, unlike us, do not have that kind of nafsi mentality, right? And we talked about this in the last series, that human beings have this very, very strong pull with the nafs, that like, I want this or I want that. It's a selfish kind of mentality, right? As you get older, you start to get more egocentric. Animals don't have that. Animals just instinct. They do what is instinctual for them. And they, when it comes to making decisions, they don't actually make decisions between right and wrong. They make decisions of instinct. We as human beings, we make decisions of right and wrong. We're not always instinctual decision makers, right? Sometimes something may not even be an instinct to us, and we'll make that decision as a right or wrong decision. Animals are not like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the 24th chapter of the Quran, Surah An-Nur, he talks about this, that even the birds in the skies with their wings, they have their way of praising and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So prayer is not only something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps for human beings. Prayer is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala receives from animals. Prayer is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala receives from all of creation, not just human beings. You know, there was actually narrations of actually in the prophetic history of how rocks, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk past rocks, they would actually say salamu alaykum to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how is that possible? How is that possible? To our logic and our reason, that makes no sense. Because we're like, okay, we're sitting here right now, we're like, how on earth is a rock going to say salam to the Prophet? Like, I never seen a rock ever say salam to me before. Why not me? Well, maybe the real reason is that you're not the Prophet, right? So obviously a rock is not going to say salam to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet confirm in several different narratives that even inanimate objects, trees, things that don't move, things that are not animate, actually pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allahu alam, Allah knows best on how they do it, right? Now, the third way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the idea of prayer. He says that, and we have made different prophets leaders, guiding them by our command. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says here, bi amrina wa awhayhim fi'ala al-khayrati wa aqima al-salati wa ita al-zakati. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we inspired to them the doing of good deeds and the establishment of prayer and the giving of zakat. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now he refers to in the Quran the idea of prayer as we know it. The idea of prayer as we know it. That this is the part where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about that this is the prayer that you know. The prayer that was ordained upon you as a human being, right? Don't worry about the way that the birds pray. Don't worry about the way that animals pray to Allah. The way that you pray to Allah is very special, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again in the Quran actually refers to human beings. Ya ayyuhan nas, ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, ya, you know, these different types of people. Because people, you know, the beauty is that human beings have a level up on every other creation of Allah. And this is absolutely true. Absolutely true. You look at yourself, the way that you are made, the way that you are created, how different are you than any other creation that Allah has ever created? The angels are beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the malaika. They are beautiful beings. They are beings of light. They are beings of, they're messengers of God. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he favored the human beings even over the angels. Why? There must be something special about us. And one of the reasons why we are so special is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us so many different abilities. Even if from like the get-go you don't see that ability to be superior to those of the angels or those of the jinn, human beings have their own unique ability that has not been given to anybody else in the history of mankind, right? Look at the things that you're able to do. Human beings have knowledge. Human beings have wisdom. Human beings have intellect. human beings have emotions that far surpass the emotions of any other creation that have ever existed, right? وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. That we have created every single one of you beautifully, with nobility, with dignity, with honor, all these different things that human beings are created with, you find that within people, right? You find that within people, and that's something very, very beautiful. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he continues and he says about salah, the idea of prayer, he says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, indeed prayer prohibits, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ, wrong, immorality. Fahsha in short means, you know, immorality, you know, immoral deeds, immoral actions. Wal munkar. Munkar is something that's described as wrongdoing. That when you pray, one of the reasons you pray is to get yourself in this mentality that you're not going to engage in these wrong things in your life. I've never heard personally of a person who prays and then makes dua to go rob a bank the next day, right? Like when you make dua, you automatically, when you engage in worship, you automatically want things that are good, right? People who pray don't feel comfortable doing something bad for their hearts after their prayer. This is why prayer is very, very, I would say it's actually a very addicting type of feeling, meaning that it's like a consistent kind of thing, meaning like when you pray, you feel uncomfortable doing things that are against the value of prayer, right? You get up and you pray Fajr, you don't want to do something shady after Fajr. You know, you stay up and you pray Isha in congregation, you don't feel comfortable doing something that's bad for you after you pray Isha in congregation. And if you do, you know, may Allah help us. I know human beings have slip-ups and mistakes and setbacks, but usually the pattern is that when we engage in something like salah, we don't feel comfortable doing things that are described as fahsha wal munkar. That they make us uncomfortable, right? Like when you engage with Allah, you don't feel comfortable engaging with things that are bad for you, right? This is why Allah says that, like, be consistent in your prayer. And one other thing that's really important is, have you ever wondered in your life why salah is spread over the entire day? You think about it, right? Salah, the first salah happens in the morning, early AM hours, right? Fajr salah happens before the sun officially comes up. And a lot of us are like, oh my God, why, right? It's so early. I can barely get up to go to work or to school. Now God wants me to get up at like 5:30 in the morning to go pray. Like that's crazy talk, man. I'm a human being, right? I got limitations. Allah sets the prayer of Fajr in the early AM hours before the sun rises. And then Dhuhr when the sun is at its zenith, and then Asr in the late afternoon, then Maghrib when the sun sets officially, and then Isha in the nighttime. Why? Because you're supposed to consistently pray to God. Did you ever think that, like, you know, if Allah really wanted five daily prayers to be like in the first half of the day, He could have easily done that. But salah was spread over time during the day because every portion of the day you're supposed to remember God. Every portion of the day you're supposed to engage in the remembrance of Allah. This is why, by the way, in this ayah right here, Allah says, "Wala dhikru Allahi akbar," and the remembrance of Allah is greater. Wala dhikru Allahi akbar. That constantly engage in the remembrance of God. When you pray, the focal point of your salah is supposed to be to engage in the remembrance of your Creator. And that is supposed to be done in a consistent manner. You're not supposed to be like, oh yeah, I'll remember Allah this morning and forget Him the rest of the day and like kind of circle back to that like maybe in a couple of days. Oh, I'll remember Allah in the first week of October, then drop off in the middle of October, then kind of get back into the swing of things at the end of October, then maybe November 1st take a break and then kind of catch up in December. The remembrance of Allah is described in the Quran to be akbar. The word akbar in Arabic doesn't mean great or greatest. It means greater, comparative. Okay, why? Because always remember that the remembrance of God will always be greater than anything else you could do in the history of your life. The remembrance of God is something that you always know is better than any other deed you can ever do in your life. Whether it is to, you know, cook, clean, you know, hang out with your family, hang out with your friends, you know, even things like dua, the remembrance of God is the best thing a human being can do. That's why Allah says, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Okay? And then, very, very beautifully, I want to touch upon something that's very special here. And one thing I wanted to touch upon is the fact that, you know, a lot of people have the question of, you know, was Salah something that was ordained before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, right? Was Salah a thing before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent? How about people like, you know, Maryam alayhi salam? What about people like Prophet Musa alayhi salam? What about people like Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam? These are prophets of God, right? And so if the sunnah is such a key role in how we pray, how does that, you know, work? Now, the short answer is that salah was definitely a thing before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, right? Salah was definitely a thing. There's proofs in the Quran, actually, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually told Maryam, the mother of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he told Maryam directly in the Quran, oh Maryam, right? Ya Maryam, be devoutly obedient to your Lord and prostrate and bow with those who prostrate. He told Maryam alayhi salam to prostrate and bow. Another part of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to Prophet Ibrahim and his son Ismail. Allah says, and mentioned when we made the house a place of return for the people and a place of security, talking about the and take, O believers, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, from the standing place of Ibrahim, maqam Ibrahim, a place of prayer. That where Prophet Ibrahim stood while he was building the Kaaba ended up being a place of prayer for people after him, right? So prayer was a thing before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was even born. But when did prayer become something that was actually something that we know today as the salah that we pray? This story comes from a narration in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Isra wal Mi'raj. Isra wal Mi'raj in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life was a journey that he was accompanied by Angel Jibreel during, from the city of Mecca to the city of Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis, the holy city, right? From Mecca to Jerusalem. Literally, Angel Jibreel alayhi salam woke him up one evening in the city of Mecca, told him, we're going on a trip, and you're going to come with me. We're going to travel to Jerusalem in a matter of a couple of hours. We're going to get there. You're going to lead a prayer there with all the prophets of before. Then we're going to go travel to the heavens, go through the ancestors of prophethood. You're going to see Yusuf. You're going to see Musa. You're going to see Ibrahim. You're going to see Isa and Harun and all these other prophets. You're going to go all the way up there and you're going to meet Allah. Sound like an intimidating vacation? Absolutely it does. Right? Sounds like a pretty crazy trip? Absolutely it does. But the Prophet ﷺ went with Jibreel alayhi salam, and he went all the way up to the heavens and he met all these prophets of God. All these prophets of God, and then he finally went all the way up and he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what did he do as he met Allah? There are a couple of things that happened during the company while he was with Allah. A lot of the companions actually, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, what was it like to be in the presence of God himself? What was it like to be in the presence of God himself? And Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually responds to the people. He said, what do you think it was like? How could I even like think about describing Allah? As soon as I fell into his presence, I fell into sujood. I fell into prostration. Like, I can't be in the presence of God and not bow down. You know, there was actually a narration that said there was like a veil of light in between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah when they met each other. And Allah, during this meeting, he gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the gift of salah. The gift of salah. Okay. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that 50 prayers were enjoined upon me that evening. 50 prayers were enjoined upon me that evening. 50 obligatory prayers, okay? And he said, I took that ordainment, and I took that order from God, and I descended down until I met Musa alayhi salam again. And Musa alayhi salam, he asks me, what have you done? Where have you been? Right? What did you do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, 50 prayers have been enjoined upon me today by Allah. And he said, I know the people better than you because I had the hardest experience to bring my people to obedience. Your followers will not be able to keep up with such an obligation. Go back to your Lord, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him to reduce the number of prayers. The Prophet ﷺ, by the way, was a little bit resilient in this. He didn't want to go back to Allah because once Allah tells you to do something face to face, you just do it. It's not like a friend is asking you to like return a text message. It's not like a buddy of yours is asking, hey, do you want to go play ball today? You can't just easily say no, right? When Allah tells you that 50 prayers are ordained upon you today, you say, awesome, I'll do it, right? Like you don't have the you can't be like, Allah, you know, I'm kind of busy, or a little hard for me. Thursdays, got work from like 9 to 6 that day, pull an extra long shift that day. I don't know how I'm going to get all 50 done in one day. You know, you don't do that. When Allah tells you to do something, you're like, okay, Allah, I'll do it, right? Prophet Musa goes, he goes, you need to go back to Allah and tell him to lessen the amount of prayers. And so the Prophet ﷺ is resilient. He goes, I don't want to. Allah told me to do this and I'm going to do it. Musa says, no, trust me. I have been with people before you have. They will not be able to handle that obligation. So he returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks Allah to reduce it down. And so he made it 40. And then he returned to Prophet Musa. And Prophet Musa said, you need to return back to Allah and have him reduce it again. So he went up again and Allah reduced it to 30. And then he reduced it to 20. Then he reduced it to 10. And then he said, I finally came back to Prophet Musa alayhi salam and Allah reduced it down to 5. When I came to Prophet Musa alayhi salam with 5, Prophet Musa asked me, what have you done? And I said, Allah has made it 5 obligatory for me and my ummah. And he repeated the same advice, what I said, that I surrender to God's final order. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam, by the way, y'all, and this is a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, volume 4. In Sahih Bukhari, Prophet Musa alayhi salam actually told the Prophet to go back and get it reduced less than 5. He says, I need you to go back to Allah and have those prayers reduced down to less than 5 a day. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, nope, that's it. The final ordainment of Allah is his final order to me, and we will pray 5 times a day, okay? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God's apostle sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was addressed by Allah, I have decreed my obligation and I have reduced the burden on my servants, and I shall reward every single good deed as if it were 10 good deeds. There's actually a narration that actually says that although the prayers were sent down to the Prophet ﷺ and reduced down to 5, there's a narration that says that we will still be rewarded for their full 50 from the original. How merciful is that? That Allah said, although you are ordained to pray 5, right? You were asked to do 50 in the beginning, but Prophet Musa alayhi salam asked you to come back to me and have it reduced down to 5. Even though you're praying 5 a day, the reward will be for the original 50. So for a believer who prays 5 times a day, there's a narration that says that the reward will be for the full 50 that was originally ordained upon humanity. Subhanallah. Right? How beautiful is that? And so I want everyone to reflect over this, that prayer, you know, is sometimes looked at as a burden for a lot of people, right? Like, I feel like I can't keep up with it, right? Like, it's too much for me. How can I pray when I'm at work? How can I pray when I'm at school? I remember I had a conversation with one of our, I spoke at an MSA this past week, actually, like a virtual MSA, obviously. And I told them, and, you know, they're sharing experiences with me and kind of like, you know, vibing back and forth about how school was and all those different things. And I said, one thing I will always stamp my name on, you know, when I was in high school, we had only 3 to 4 guys in our grade that we knew that were Muslim, okay? And on Fridays, we knew that there was something called the day of Jum'ah, the day of Friday, the day of Jum'ah prayer. And we knew in high school, there was no excuse for us to not pray Salatul Jum'ah, right? As high school students who were like 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, there was no excuse for Muslim men to not pray Jum'ah on Fridays. So what we did was that we actually gathered 3 to 4 guys that we knew that were Muslim in high school, and we did Jum'ah in an equipment closet in my high school, because we didn't get it approved by like the board. We didn't get it approved, like a classroom wasn't approved because it was like there were too many things going on. So we ended up praying in an equipment closet of a PE class in our high school. And you know what? In the middle of a school day, when everything around you is just, you know, books and biology and chemistry and English and, you know, trigonometry and all these different subjects, and it's just friends and cafeteria and people just making jokes and, you know, acting a fool sometimes in school. We used to look forward to Jum'ah on Fridays, even if it was with 4 people. It gave us a break in the day from just the world. It made us feel like it was like refreshing for us. It felt refreshing for us as people. That prayer was not something that was a burden to stop during the day and do. It was actually an escape. This is why there's a narration that actually says, you know, a salah al-mi'raj al-mu'min, that the salah is actually the ascension, mi'raj al-mu'min, the ascension of the believers, right? It's very symbolic because the Prophet ﷺ received the ordainment of salah while he was in the Isra al-Mi'raj journey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained it for him then. And so for us as believers, it's supposed to be an escape for us from this life and for us to kind of just leave this world behind for a few minutes and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This entire series, inshallah, we're going to be talking about the beauty of prayer and the different struggles that we have when we pray. I'm excited to be hosting this series this month as a part of the 5 series for young Muslims. And inshallah, we'll be tackling topics like concentration during prayer. What's your intention when you pray? What about praying on time versus praying late? What about, you know, praying in congregation or versus praying alone? What am I supposed to do when I don't understand what I'm saying during my prayer? All these different things, inshallah, will be talked about during the series this month of October. May Allah put barakah in it and accept it. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you guys so much for joining us again. One last thing I will tell everybody here is that we are doing a Launch Good campaign on behalf of Roots DFW for this youth program alone. So inshallah, we really, really want y'all's support. If you guys ever have benefited from any programming that you saw here on the Roots live streams, whether it be, you know, the 5 series, Teen Talk, Faithful, Soul Food, any other program that you've been a part of as you know, a local here in DFW, or as a person, whether you're in LA or Chicago or New York or Kentucky or Oklahoma, wherever you are, go to the rootsdfw.org page and find the Launch Good campaign that we're doing right now, inshallah, and support. Every dollar amount helps. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you guys. It's a campaign that's going to go on the entire month of October. So we hope to reach our end of the month, inshallah ta'ala. And we hope that you will be a part of the journey with us as we continue on with this beautiful, beautiful service that we're trying to get accepted by Allah as a form of good deeds on our behalf. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khair again for everybody here. And inshallah, we'll see you guys on Wednesday for the next episode of the Salah series. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.